Let's pray together. Father, if ever there was a people who have reason to rejoice, it is us. We have been blessed with much light. You have given us your word. You have given us churches all over the place. By many, the holiday is still resoundingly called Christmas. Christ has come. Today, help us as we celebrate to shed new light, more light, on what it is that you have done in sending your Son. And so today, help us not only to worship in song as we have just gotten to be able to sing, but also now as we look at the Word and see what you have communicated to us about yourself and what you have done. Would we be people who worship because we let you move and work in us what you want to do in us? So, Father, I pray, open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds, and would you help us to be a responsive people who truly do worship, not just in a service, but with our very lives. Shape that in us, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you've got an opportunity to be able to hear and sing the text already, and we're going to now look at it and see some things that it points to us, but we are continuing a series, really, that we've been in, and we're talking about the, notice, capital T, capital H, capital E, the story. This is the story of all stories in the world, really in the universe, and we're talking about that, and we're going to use this text, which is certainly sung a lot in a lot of hymns, in a lot of songs, and we're going to see what it really tells us about what Christmas is about. So, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of the Lord. There was a young man and his girlfriend who had fallen madly in love, and it was time to pop the question. And so he did. He asked if she would marry him. And then because she said yes, they went shopping for rings. He wasn't one of those guys who was going to buy that ring on his own. He knew she'd want to pick it out herself. And so they went to the jewelry store, and there they saw the ring sitting on the, well, first in the counter. But then notice what happens when they take that thing out and they put it on what? A black background. Have you ever noticed that? They put it on a black background. And then I think the lights on top of them are about a 10,000 candle power or something that hits down, and you see all of these things and it shines forth. But how do we see that radiance? It is not only because of the light that shines down that is so bright, but it's also because of the black background. Tonight, we're going to address the idea of the black background that is all of the world around us and just life. And we're going to see that the black background helps us to really be able to observe the jewel of the light that God has given to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We look at the darkness that is around us, but we're going to do so not to ruin your holiday and not to make you feel bad, but to say we want to see the light. We want to be able to really appreciate the light. And so telling the story has been this theme, and today we're going to talk about the story of light. And we're going to do so with these four names. Four names that are given to Jesus here. And what we're going to find from those four names is that there really is some stuff that God wants to give us in lighting up in our lives, things that are really important. The whole of human history, though, is the black background. Human history is that we chose not to go toward God, but to go away from Him. I mean, think about it with me for just one second. Did anyone have to teach you to be selfish? To lie? We came at it naturally. And that's an away from God bent that is the darkness of the human condition. God knew that before He ever created the earth. Before He ever created human beings, He knew that they would turn against Him, and yet He had a plan, an amazing plan, and it was to send forth His Son. And that plan was to have that Son be not just anybody, but these names that we're going to look at. And I want to shine some light on what God desires to gift you this Christmas. Many of us are going to enjoy the opening of presents, but here's the gifts that God wants to give you this Christmas. Four of them from these names: hope, security, love, and peace. Those make for a magnificent life, for a fulfilling life, for a life of expectation and hope. So let's look at each of those and how they come out of those names. First, He will be called Wonderful Counselor. But before we look at the name, I want us to get a little background to the text itself that you might not have caught. I know I didn't for a long time. It is to us that this child is given. Don't miss that word. You might want to even say it like this: for to me the child is given. To you, the child is given. But notice also, there's very precise language that is given here. Notice that a child is born. That's pretty normal, right? A child is born. But a son is not born, a son is given. Very precise language to say, the Son already existed, and He was given. And when He was born as a child, He had pre-existed as a Son. And the Son came and inhabited a human body, and He came for us. For us, this child was born. And He will be a counselor. Well, have you ever encountered someone who really was struggling with a lot of dark things? For instance, maybe the darkness was just expressing frustration that really was continuing and growing overwhelming in their lives. Or many of us have dealt with depression or with loved ones who have struggled with depression. Or maybe we've had that horrible time overcoming anger. Has anybody ever had any conflict? It's the darkness. It's the background. And when we encounter this with a lot of people, many people do. They give to us and we share with one another the wise advice to get counseling, to find and see a counselor who will help us. It is good advice. But here is one who is the Wonderful Counselor. And He brings us hope. And one of the ways that the Scripture describes for us that He brings hope is that it helps us to understand that when our life is going really good, I mean, everything is good, that it helps us to see that in fact, although it's going good, you haven't seen nothing yet. It's only a taste. The best we've encountered, the best we have seen, the best we have felt, it is a taste of what is yet to come. And then when we're at the other end and life is awful and it has become even maybe unbearable at those worst times, the counselor comes and through His word, through His indwelling presence, He says, this will end one day. No more tears. No more heartache. No more pain. No more death. Never again. So whether it's the greatest or it's the darkest, the counselor comes and he gives us hope. He gives us hope. But he is also called Mighty God. Now, when we think about the dark here, have you heard of anyone, I mean, just sort of lately, or maybe you have to extend it a long time, like, have you ever heard anybody complain about politics? I mean, just, you know, once in a while? I mean, why do we hear so many complaints about politics? And we look at it and you say stuff like, you know, well, he's going to just destroy this, or she's going to wipe out 200 years of good history and all of these kind of things. And it's like the sky is falling is the way it's presented a lot of times. But verse 7 tells us of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. What is it that we're looking for? What is it that we're being assured of? Why is it that we don't like a lot of the talk about what goes on in politics? Is because it does. It creates insecurity. We wonder if it's all going to collapse. Is it all going to come falling down around our ears? But here is security, one who reigns on the throne with justice and righteousness, and never again will there be all of those political things. I appreciate how often I see expressions of thanks to our military members who are serving so faithfully. And George Orwell wrote, and Churchill paraphrased it, We sleep soundly in our beds because rough men stand ready in the night to do violence on those who would do us harm. And many times we understand that unless there were those who were guarding, that would be the case. There would be those who would visit violence on us. But one day there will be perpetually increasing a just and a secure government that will need no protectors anymore. That's the hope that this mighty God is giving us, is a security that will know no bounds. It will continue forever. But then the next name is that he is Everlasting Father. This is a really odd name for the Son, isn't it? I mean, we know he's a Trinitarian God. He is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is saying that the Son will come, and the Son is called Everlasting Father. Well, we have expressions that we use actually pretty frequently. Have you ever heard it expressed? Well, they are our founding fathers, right? Does that mean all of us are direct descendants of those people? No. Okay, are you guys with me? Because you're not really answering. Let me know that you're actually tracking. You know, there we're not. Now, you could hear someone, he is the father of aviation. Does that mean all pilots are descended from that person? It doesn't. So what is he the father of? He is the father of salvation, of faith. Everyone who will be in heaven will be there because they put faith in Jesus Christ. He is the one who fathered it and gave salvation to all who would believe at any point and any time. The darkness of the importance of a father is so seen in so many American statistics. Fatherlessness, you can read all the time and see that it is epidemic. 90% of all homeless and runaway youths from a fatherless home. 85% of children that exhibit behavioral disorders from a fatherless home. 71% of high school dropouts from a fatherless home. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions from a fatherless home. The love of the father, the love of a father, makes a huge difference. The love of a father makes a huge difference. Well, there is one who came even as son, but expressed himself as father because he gave eternal love by his own sacrifice. He is the originator of faith. He is the originator of salvation. He is the father of it. He is the father of love. And if you have that longing deep in your soul because perhaps you didn't experience that love of a father, here's one who fills that void. Here's one who will say, my love will never, ever, ever and I am an everlasting Father. I will love forever. And that's His promise, and it's His name. It's who He is. Today, one living, enduring love can be yours if it hasn't already become your love. But fourth, we find another title. He is the Prince of Peace. We sing that and we read it and we use the word peace a lot, and it's a good word, and it is so frequently used that maybe we don't really reflect on it as well as we could. And I think the other thing is that because for many of us, for probably most of us, we have not encountered the real pain and anguish of war. And because of that, we tend to not have the same ring to the word peace. We haven't encountered the tension and the destruction and the horror of war. And so when we read peace on a Christmas card or anywhere else, it might not be as impacting as it is to some. But are you aware that right now, raging on the earth, there's about 40 wars that are being fought? Here's the map of them. And I want you to notice the size of those, if you can't read it. It is saying that those bigger dots, those have been going on for 50 to 70 years. There are some people who live, who are our age, who have never known peace in their existence. Never. I want you to enter into that darkness for a couple. Just jump into that. All you've known is war and bloodshed and horrors of war. It's all you've ever known, your whole life. And then you read the Prince of Peace, who will rule and reign forever and ever. Now tell me that doesn't give you a sense of incredible peace that is beyond compare. Light. There is a prince who comes, and it says here that his government will increase. The idea is, and the way it's stated actually could be stated, it isn't just that it will be secure, is that it will be in a perpetual sense of increasing and improving. I don't know how God's going to pull that off, but I'm looking forward to it. That this government, perfect already, is going to be more glorious and more to experience and delight in and hope in. For unto us. I want you to say it with me. For unto me. You ready? For unto me a child is born. Unto me a son is given. But that is only true if we receive the gift that this son is offering to us this Christmas. Here's what we need to wrestle with. I've told you who Jesus is. Isaiah wrote about 700 years before Jesus was actually born, and he said, this is who he will be. And Jesus validated the fact that he is that person by his death, burial, and resurrection. He rose from the dead. Nobody does that. But he did. I've told you who Jesus is, but here's the important question. Who is he to you? Is he just a story? Is he still just a baby in a manger that gives us a reason for a big holiday? These names describe this magnificence that's, in one sense, unbelievable. And if Jesus isn't becoming your all, you're not understanding the story that is before us. So why did God plan? When he could see ahead of time the darkness of all of humanity and knew that we would reject him, why did he choose to do this? It is because he loves us that much, and he wants to deal with us, and he gives us the light to help us to know that. You are here tonight, and you are getting to hear this because he wants you to know he wants you. to experience all of these things that we've talked about and more. But here's the real hitch in all of this. We tend to think that we don't need Jesus. I'm pretty good. I'm all right. I like the way my life is going, and maybe we're comfortable, or we don't really see that there's a problem that I need a Savior for. I don't need anyone to come and pay my penalty. Maybe we think that. God, I don't really need you to fix things in my life. Well, I want to address that, and I like using humor. I think it makes a good point. So I know I've showed this before. Some of you have seen it, but and remember, it's okay to laugh. It really is. So remember, it's for humor. Here you go. Check this out.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there.
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing.
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. Yeah,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just, sometimes it's like, there's this achy, I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't... Try to see things my way.
I know the video picks on women, but it's interesting to me as a pastor for many years, it's many times the men who have a harder time recognizing their need. But for any of us, we can say, oh, I don't have a need. But the Bible declares this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because I chose to go my own way, I fall short of the glory of God. The Bible further says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, that is going my own way, the wages of sin is death. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, his death pays my penalty. His righteousness given to me, that's the great exchange. That is the opportunity that's before us. That's the light that we want to shine in all of these things. It is that those four attributes, they're given. They're given. They are a gift for you, for us. But they are to those who receive. John 1:12 says, but to as many as receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. That's how we know the hope and these promises of Christmas, is that we believe and we receive. And so we can say, no, I don't really need to fix it. I don't, Pastor, you're telling me I need to fix it and I'm just fine. But if it was ridiculous with a nail in our head, aren't we pretending like my own sin really isn't of consequence, even though nobody ever had to teach me to be selfish? Nobody ever had to teach me to lie. It's just my bent and who I am. It's not just what I do. Today, receive the greatest gift. If it's not yours, this is the gift of Christmas. It's Jesus. Today, we offer him up to you. I hope you'll respond. And for all of us who have, I pray you would rejoice again that for unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to celebrate Christmas, to rejoice together that you have given us such a gift. And I pray, Father, that though it is a ridiculous skit, the idea that a nail is there, and that's not really the problem, help us to see. Perhaps if we've been just saying, no, sin isn't my problem, it's all these other things. Today, would we turn from our sin, recognizing the need of a Savior, and would Christ be enthroned King of our lives, to be the everlasting one, the lover, the father, the counselor, the hope. Father, I pray that as we close out our service in song and the light moves across the room, would you help us, Lord, to believe that you have shed light so that we would know light that is eternal. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.